Just as a side, when you go home, get your copy of the New Testament and open it up to St. Luke's Gospel. The first four verses of the first chapter made up the beginning of this morning's Gospel. They are the introduction to the Gospel. They are one sentence. 77 words are one sentence. If I were a high school English teacher, and when it came time to give the final exam to students on the parts of speech, I think I would ask them to diagram that sentence. Because if they could, they probably know the parts of speech very well. We begin today the reading of St. Luke's Gospel, and over the next months, for most of the rest of the year up until Thanksgiving time, we're going to read from that Gospel. The story that is put before us this morning is the story of Jesus coming back to his hometown and going into the synagogue and reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now, Luke has put that story at the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry in Galilee. Matthew and Mark put that story further into the ministry. But Luke determined to put it up front. And what we have to do is we have to presume that the author is at least as intelligent as the reader. So the author has a reason for why the author does something. And I would suggest to you that the reason that Luke does this is Luke wants to make it very clear from the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan, and that the words from the 61st chapter in Isaiah describe the work of Jesus. Jesus goes into the synagogue and he stands up to read, and he's given the scroll of Isaiah. He doesn't open it haphazardly. It's not opened for him. He walks to the reading stand and he puts down the scroll, and then he unrolls it and unrolls it and unrolls it and unrolls it and unrolls it until he gets to the very end of the scroll, the 61st chapter. He chooses that text deliberately. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news." Now that's really the mission of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is anointed by the Spirit of God, and his job, his vocation, his work is to proclaim good news. That's what gospel means, good news. To proclaim good news. And the good news is the news of God's presence and God's saving work, God's love. That's what he's supposed to do. And then Isaiah the prophet says that the way you make sure that that good news gets out is you make sure that those people who stand on the edge, those who stand on the fringe, are included in that good news. And so Jesus says, he is anointed to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim release to captives, to grant sight to the blind, and to free the oppressed. That the object of God's good news is everyone. The object of God's salvation is everyone. But the proof that it does touch everyone is that those who are normally excluded become included in that work. Now, another piece about Luke's opening lines is he tells us that Jesus goes up to Galilee. He leaves Judah and he goes to Galilee. Those are two very, very different places. Not only geographically, but sociologically. And you really don't have to go there to get a flavor of that. The names themselves tell you that. The sounds tell you that. Judah is a fairly dark and restrictive place. It's a place that excludes all those who are not at the center of Israelite faith. Galilee is much more cosmopolitan. It is lighter. It is far more open. Galilee, located around the Sea of Galilee, sometimes known as the Sea of Tiberias, or sometimes known as Lake Genezareth. When you say Galilee, you can almost hear the ripple of the waters of the sea. There are 10 cities surrounding Galilee, and they are Roman cities. The great Roman trade routes pass through Galilee. In some places, there are far more non-Jews than Jews who are resident in Galilee. Jesus chooses to go there to do his ministry. And it's a way of saying that what he has to do is not restricted to the house of Israel. That what he has to do embraces all people, all nations. And so Jesus is announcing that this is his mission. Now, in the second reading, St. Paul tells us that we are the body of Christ. That in our diversity and in our multiplicity, we are one body. And that we are the presence of Jesus Christ in the year 2007. And that it is our job, in our own place, to live out that mission of Jesus, the proclamation of the presence of God, in our own time. And so it is not only that Isaiah says of the Messiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And it is not only that Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, but Paul says of us, of the church, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, is upon us. And we are called to proclaim the good news. And we're called to use the same litmus test as Isaiah and Jesus. We need to make sure that that good news reaches out and embraces all people, even those who stand on the edge. And that's what you and I struggle to do in the mission of our parish life. St. Matthew's exists in the world as a visible expression of God's love. And not only God's love for us who are gathered here this morning, but God's love for our world, which is our neighborhood, our community. That the works we do the deeds we perform, their goodness is to be judged by how inclusive they are. Just as the mission of Jesus is judged by its inclusivity. Now, the last piece of that passage from Isaiah the prophet is that the Messiah is sent to proclaim a year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor is the Jubilee year. And in Israel and in the early church, every 7 years was a Jubilee year. The Jubilee year was not only a year of celebration, but it was a year of new beginnings. And so there were sociological realities that occurred. For instance, all the prisons were opened and all the prisoners were set free. All the accumulated debts, financial debts, were forgiven. All the land was returned and was redistributed. It truly was the opportunity once every 7 years for communities to begin fresh, recognizing that after 7 years, being only human as we are, there are enough mistakes that we make, enough poor judgments that we act upon, enough circumstances that either affect us or affect others that we are part of that are less than wholesome, and that history can't continue year after year after year. The weight becomes too big. And so there needs to be a regular way in which all of that is wiped aside so that individuals and societies can begin fresh. That's the purpose of a Jubilee. Another aspect of that Jubilee, though, is an opportunity for men and women to return to the basics, to return to the truths that are at the heart of their lives, and to once again measure what they do and how they do it in light of those truths. Now, the truth that they're invited to return to is the truth that is laid out in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to bring good news and to make sure that that good news is inclusive and embracing of all. And so once every 7 years, men and women, communities, are invited to re-examine their lives, their work, and then to decide how they might do that better, how they might do that more faithfully, how they might do that in a stronger fashion. Now, the last time there was a Jubilee was in the year 2000. And so 2007 is a Jubilee year. And I think it would be really very important for us as a community and also for us as individuals to use this year as we walk through the story of Jesus with St. Luke, to use this year as the opportunity to re-examine who we are and what we do. And to make sure that we make those corrections or we undertake those works or we embrace those opportunities that truly do proclaim the good news of God's love, and that do so in a way that is as inclusive, as drawing in, as absolutely possible. That's what Jesus came to announce, to proclaim, to make effective. You and I, as sisters and brothers of the Lord, but as members of the one body, are called to make that work our very own.